In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with Louisa Finds That Peace is Everything in the Divine Will, Part 1. And we are on page 8, volume 8, 7-17-1907. My daughter, the true sign to know whether the soul lives in my divine will is that everything that happens to her, every circumstance takes place in peace, because my divine will is so perfect and so holy that it cannot produce even a shadow of disturbance. So here Jesus is saying, you want to live in the divine will, you have to be peaceful in every situation. The evil one loves to fill us with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And as we enter into this life of worry, fear, anxiety, negativity, and sin, we keep those demons of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin in our life. And until we banish them by no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin, no more doubts, when we banish those, we will be able to live a peaceful, joyful, happy life, which is the life of heaven. And that's what our God is offering to us. He's offering to us this new and abundant life, this new beginning of being peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happiness. And so Jesus says, this is the true sign whether the soul lives in my divine will, is that, is everything peace? Is no matter what happens to you, you stub your toe, you miss an appointment, you're setting up dominoes, and you're almost done and you hit it and they all fall down. What happens with a lot of people is they become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. And this is not how our God wants us to live. It's to be peaceful in all situations. And that peacefulness is to say fiat in all situations. Fiat. Trusting God, believing in God, hoping in God. Our Lord has given us this great opportunity to read, study, and to put into practice these truths that Jesus taught Louisa. And the main thing that we learn is to say fiat. Lord, you're in charge of my life, whether there's difficulties or not. I mean, financial difficulties, health difficulties, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional difficulties. It's always to say to the Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You are my King. You're my God. And I am your little nothing. And I just love being with you. And I love trusting you. You know, it's today's reading in the Gospel, we hear that Jesus, you know, he heals those who trust in him. He heals those who believe in him. He could work no miracle in his hometown because people say, isn't this the carpenter's son? Where did he get such power? And they just despised him. Who do you think you are, basically? And Jesus says, you know, he wants us to trust in him, believe in him, hope in him, have confidence in him. Every miracle that ever happened was because of people's belief in Jesus Christ. He said he could work no miracle there because of their lack of faith. God looks at us and he says, do you trust me? Why do you think Pope St. John Paul II gave us divine mercy? Jesus, I trust in you. Because he believed what Jesus said to St. Faustina. He knew these writings inside and out. And he knew that Jesus said to Louisa, to St. Faustina, that this is the final devotion that I give to my church before I return. This is the final devotion that I give to my church before I return. He knew Christ is coming back. He knew the kingdom was going to be established. And what he does is he says to us, do you trust me? And when we say yes, the true sign that you're living in the divine will is you are peaceful in all situations. Whether you stub your toe, crash your car, lose your finances, you say to Jesus, I trust in you. Many people commit suicide because they're in despair. Life is not worth it anymore. And they give up this life for eternity where it's not looked favorably upon by the judge. I mean, when you think of it, you thou shalt not commit murder, even of yourself. You have no right over yourself. We don't belong to ourselves. Jesus tells us, he shed every drop of his blood for our salvation. That doesn't mean that we condemn anyone, but read what the church has always taught about suicide. And it's more prevalent today because people don't believe in God. They don't trust in God. They don't hope in God. They have no confidence in God. And all they have left is despair, which is what Judas went through. And that's not what we want. We pray for everybody. We plead with God for everybody. When you get to that point where you are despairing, it's because you're already discouraged. You haven't fought discouragement as you would fight hell itself. Discouragement leads to despair. And our Lord is saying to us, you want to live in the divine will? The true sign is you are peaceful. You trust in God. You believe in God. You hope in God in all situations. It's not our responsibility to decide whether or not we live or die, or anybody lives or die. Our responsibility is to be faithful and obedient. Now, the church teaches that if you commit a crime against the state, and the state has laws that you lose your life because of the crime that you commit, the church says then that is the state's right that your punishment is here rather than eternal. And if the person, and I read a lot of times the saints, you know, who would go listen to confessions of the criminal, of those that were going to be executed, they would say, I want to make a good confession before I go. I want to say to the Lord, I'm sorry, and I want to be with you eternally. See, there's always hope. There's always a confidence in God, trust in God. And our Lord is looking at us and he's saying, you want to know whether you are living in my divine will? Are you peaceful? Or are you still complaining and worried and fearful and anxious and negative? Are you doubting? And if that's there, we've got to banish those spirits. Because you keep worry alive by worrying. You keep anger alive by being angry. They have to be banished from our life. We have to work at that. We have to pray a lot. I mean, any addiction, you pray an awful lot until the miracle happens of God freeing you from that addiction. But he wants you to be free. He needs you to be free. And this is where prayer, fasting, penance comes in, conversion comes in, to turn away from our wickedness, to turn away from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and embrace fully the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Lord looks at us and he's saying, I've got great plans for you. And either we believe it or we don't. And if we don't believe it, then we have to say to Jesus, then I will wait, I will pray, and I will wait for you to show this to me. Because I know you want me to know this. If this is true, you want me to know this. It's the same thing with the divine will. The more that you read, the more that you study, the more that you put this into practice, the happier you become, because you begin to understand our Lord isn't joking with Louisa. He's telling her the truth. He's saying, this is what I want for you. This is what I have planned for you. To make of you, to make of each and every one of us a divine masterpiece. And he says to Louisa, this was planned long before you were even created. This divine masterpiece that he wants of each and every one of us, our uniqueness that no one can compare to. That's how unique we are. No one can compare to one another. That's why there's no jealousy in the religious. There should be no jealousy. It's what God has given to you, he's given to no other person. And while I don't see it, I don't understand it, well, you get closer to God and he'll show you. He'll show you who you are by being a reflection of him. Image and likeness, that's what God wants. He wants us, so he gives us the two examples of the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. And he says, this is what I've called you to become. To become one of the family of the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. And the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will is Louisa. How glorious is this? We know Louisa Picaretta. So he says, when the true sign is peace, that everything that happens to the soul, every circumstance that happens to the soul, peace is there. Because my divine will, listen to this, is so perfect and so holy that it cannot produce even the shadow of disturbance. There's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, there's no doubting, there's no sin. That's what God is calling us to. Again, nobody has that fully yet. There are some peaceful souls. And Jesus, what he does is he says, okay, I want you to be more peaceful. I'm going to put you in this situation. Are you going to be peaceful? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to be able to say your fiat with a smile? And he has to test us until we pass the test. If we fail the test, he puts us in that test again and again and again until we pass it. And once we pass it, we passed it. That situation will not bother us. And our Lord is asking, pleading with us to learn how to say fiat continuously so we can pass the tests. Jesus says, so if in contrast mortifications or bitternesses the soul feels disturbed, the soul cannot say that she is inside my most holy divine will. So with contrast or mortifications or bitternesses, in that, if you feel disturbed, at the most she can say, she cannot say that she is inside the most holy divine will of God. If she feels resigned and also disturbed, okay, this person is really annoying, and you're going, I'm just going to hold my breath until they're gone, you know, is resigned yet also disturbed, the soul can say at the most that she is in the shadow of my divine will. But in fact, while being outside of the divine will, she is free to feel her own self, but not inside the divine will. So again, we have to get to that point that no one or nothing, no human or no nothing can disturb us. I know a number of people, good Catholics, who when they see somebody on TV, they get furious. The divine will's not there. It's not that you don't care. It's, you should be praying for that soul. Lord, thank you for showing me this to me. I'm sorry this is happening to you. I want to repair this. I want to make sure that you, Lord, are reigning in me. I'm filled with peace, joy, and happiness because of this great gift of the divine will. Nothing will disturb me. And again, this is very important. You know, in our family, a lot of people get upset. You know, they're not living in the church. No, you pray for them. Thank you, Jesus, for showing this to me. Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on me. Lord, I want to repair this. I want to redo this in the most holy divine will. As if this offense is not offending you anymore, Lord. See, we are the ones that Jesus is asking to pray that Holy Spirit prayer. You know, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. What does that mean? You're not going to be worried or fearful or anxious or complaining. Recreated. That will not bother you. It will be like water off a duck's back. And you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through the little children of the Holy Divine Will, through me. That's what we're praying for. So again, God has to test us. He's testing us constantly. Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say fiat so that the kingdom can be established in you, on earth, in this dust, which we are, remember, man, that thou art dust, so that the kingdom can be there. This dust is going to be, again, in the image and likeness of God. We want that breath of God, that ruah of God, to breathe in us. Why? So that God can make of us what he has planned. But if we're there with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, if we're disturbed, through contrast, mortifications, and bitternesses, Jesus says, it's not even the shadow is there. At the most, she said, if you're resigned, the shadow is there. But we want to live in the fullness of the Son of the Divine Will. We want to enter in this abundant light of God. The Divine Will is three things, Jesus keeps on saying to Louisa. It's light, it's love, it's life. These three things are what God wants us to possess. That's God. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Image and likeness. And he's looking at us and he's saying, you know, I have such wonderful things planned, but I can't give them to you if you're not in my divine will. I can't give them to you if you're not peaceful, joyful, and happy. If you're not living heaven, how can I give you heaven? So the Lord looks at us and he says, keep on reading, keep on studying. Watch what I'm going to do. I've got great plans. You're in them, he says, and I'm waiting for you to begin to live this abundant life. Jesus says in volume 8, 315, 1908, so it happens to souls when they are completely filled with God, up to the brim, up to overflowing outside. So he's saying, I want you to be full of the divine will, full of these words that I spoke to Louisa. He says, these words are divine lives that I want you to begin to live. Every truth, he says, is a divine life. He says, when the souls are completely filled with God, up to the brim and overflowing outside, storms, again, that's contrast, mortifications, and bitterness, storms have no strength to upset those souls even slightly. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. It's everything is fiat. Fiat, let it be done as you say. Fiat, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Fiat, Lord, I want what you want. And again, this is so amazing that our God is giving this to us. He says, it's yours if you wish it. It's yours if you want it. I'll give it to you 30, 60, or 100 fold. Whatever you want, I will fill you with. He says, let me do this. He says that to Louisa so often. Let me do this. So the worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, the storms of human life have no strength to upset the little children of the holy divine will, those who are living in the fiat. It won't upset them even slightly, because there is no strength that can defy God. Do you see what Jesus is saying? When the soul is completely filled with God, trust in God, hope in God, confidence in God, so that the soul is peaceful, joyful, and happy, there is no strength strong enough to defy God, who's reigning in that soul. You see why God is saying, I want you to be in my image and likeness? Because He is there. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our God. He's our everything. And He's looking at us and He's saying, are you willing to allow me to reign in you? Are you willing to allow me, the Lord, to breathe into you my image and likeness? And if we say, yes, Lord, I want this, then He goes, okay, get out of my way and watch what I will do. How do we get out of our way? What's the human way? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, doubt, sin. It's to live a life of misery. So Jesus says, let me do this. You want to live in my divine will? Watch what I'm going to do. Want to live in my divine will? Watch how powerful I am. No strength, nothing strong enough to defy God. So He looks at us and He says, do you know how much I love you? I thought of you from before time began. And I planned for you. My plan, my goal for each and every one of you, He says, is that I want you to become my divine masterpiece. Only God can make a divine masterpiece. So He's showing us how and why this is going to happen with the Book of Heaven. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, how glorious this is. Within a year after reading, you can't be the same. It's impossible. Why? Jesus is speaking to you. We're hearing the Lord God Almighty speak to us. Maybe not with our ears, but with our minds, our hearts, our souls. He loves us so much that He is willing to begin to live this abundant life, share with us His abundant life. So He says, there is no strength that can defy God. At the most, they may feel it superficially, but nothing, this is the storm superficially, but it can't affect you. Even more, as the soul detects the storm, the soul puts the virtues in order and goes to nest in the inmost depth of God, the depths of God. We see this with Louisa. Jesus would say, come into my arms. And as a father holding his little baby girl, come into my arms, I will protect you. Come into my arms and I will console you. Come into my arms and you will begin to feel how much I love you in these situations that are all around you. See, that's the true sign of living in the divine will, is you're in the arms of God. You're in the arms of Jesus. Nothing can bother you. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. He's our all. Nothing can harm us. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. When we run away from God, we don't experience His love. It's like a lamb, a little baby lamb that runs away from the shepherd. The shepherd can't, you know, pet it, can't say, hi, how are you? You know, the little lamb is running away. But when the other lambs come close, He can hold them, He can feed them, He can, you know, play with them. It's a delight for the shepherd. And that's what God is doing. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Do we believe that? Do we believe that he loves us tremendously? He wants to take care of his little sheep, his little lambs. He wants to take care of us. And again, there's nothing to worry about. It says, even more, when the soul detects the storm, she puts the virtues in order and goes to nest in the inmost depths of God, to participate in God. If you can't sleep at night, put yourself in the arms of Jesus. Recognize that you were just a little newborn and say, hold me, take care of me. Help me to fall asleep. Sleep in my sleeping. Breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. And what happens at that point is you get to the point of total surrender in God. You begin to train yourself, just think of the virtues, training yourself with the virtues, training yourself to trust in him so much that you can fall asleep in his arms. Dream in my dreaming. That's a beautiful prayer at night. Lord, I want to dream of the kingdom. Show me the kingdom, Lord. Bring me to the kingdom tonight. Let me see with a glimpse how magnificent this kingdom that you want to give me is all about. What it's all about. And then trust in him. Believe in him. Hope in him. And if you feel far from Jesus, it's because we're far from Jesus. And he's saying, you know, come to me. Stand near me. Be next to me. Watch what I will do. So while externally there seems to be a storm, listen to this. This is important. It is completely false. It's a test. Can you say Thea? Externally, there seems to be a storm, but it is completely false. Why? You're snuggled up with God. He's there, holding you and protecting you. You've gone to him where you found life worrisome. What is the worrisomeness of life? It's fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus says, stop it. Come to me, all you who find life worrisome, and I will refresh you. Learn from me, he says. That's what we're doing with the Book of Heaven. We're learning from Jesus. He is the one that we want to be like. He is the one that we want to be with. And so he says to us, externally, there seems to be a storm, but it is completely false. It is then, listen to this, that the soul enjoys more peace. The soul enjoys more rest. The soul enjoys being more tranquil. The soul enjoys being in the bosom of God, snuggled up with God, in God's arms. And if you say, well, that's not going to happen to me, God says, exactly, that's true. It can't happen to you. You won't come near me. You won't allow me to hold you. You won't allow me to free you from your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity. Just like the fish that is in the bosom of the sea. God has got great plans. He needs us to cooperate. He really does. He's asking us. He's pleading with us. Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say yes to God? And when we say yes, God, he says, prove it. Come into my arms, he says. Now we have a whole talk on entering in the arms of Jesus. Letting each soul snuggle up with God. God wants to hold you. God wants to free you of yourself. You know, all of us have been wounded. Every one of us has been wounded to a greater or lesser extent than everybody else. And he says, I want to console you. I want to help you. I want to heal you. I want to soothe your wounds. And we have to turn to the Lord and say, I surrender to you. You're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Master. You are my King, you're my God, and I surrender to you. Let it be done as you say. Let it be done. And God goes, good. That's the first step of Him creating you into His divine masterpiece. Surrender to Jesus. Surrender, submission, docility. These are words that are hated today. You know, it's if He is our Lord, if He's our King and our God, He knows perfectly well what we need. We're not the masters of our life. Jesus has to be. And that's why He says to us, come to me. I want to soothe you. I want to console you. That's one of the things that people find out being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance. What's happening at that point? God is soothing them. God is healing them. God is reigning. And He's looking at us and He's saying to us, Will you allow me to comfort you? And when we say yes, He goes, good. You're learning. Don't run away from me anymore, He says. He says very, very clearly, there seems to be a storm, but it is false. Then the soul enjoys more peace, rest, tranquil, in the bosom of God, like a fish in the bosom of the sea. Never to be separated. You begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness, a life of holiness. That's what God's planned. In His image and likeness, to be like Him. Volume 8, 329-08. My daughter, peaceful souls eat at my same table and drink at my cup. Peaceful souls are at the wedding feast in the kingdom. And that's what he says. The kingdom is going to be the wedding feast for all eternity. When you become peaceful now, you begin to partake in that same table, that same cup. Why? To begin to live that wedding feast of God. That's the proposal. A Jewish boy, when he finds a girl that he wants to marry, he goes and he has dinner, basically, with the bride. And he fills the cup, he drinks the cup, and he puts the cup next to the girl. If the girl drinks from the cup, he stands up and he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back to take you with me. That's the proposal with that cup. And then he goes to his father and he starts building the bridal chamber at his father's house. And the father knows when the bridal chamber is ready. The son doesn't know. And then when it's ready, when the father says it's ready, then he goes back to pick up his bride. Now the bride is waiting for him. The candles are lit, waiting for him to return. And always the trumpet is blown and the groom's best man yells out, the groom is coming. That's where we are right now. We're waiting for that trumpet to be blown. The groom is coming. The king is coming. That's where we are today. God has proposed to us. The bridal chamber is complete. How do we know that? Because of the Book of Heaven. Read the Book of Heaven. It's all about being the proposal. Right here, he says it right here. Peaceful souls eat at my same table and drink at my cup. They are his bride. Collectively, he marries the whole church, but individually, he marries each one of us individually. And the divine archer does nothing but dart through them continuously, and no dart is wasted. It's an I love you, I love you, I love you. Those are the rounds. I love you, I love you, I love you. All of creation, all of redemption are divine I love yous. Not one is wasted. We are the ones that are to become aware of them. How? By praying the rounds of redemption and the rounds of creation. That's what God is looking for. No darts are wasted. None of these I love yous are wasted. And he's saying to us, are you recognizing all the I love yous of creation? Are you ready for my return? Are you ready to be with me eternally at the wedding banquet of heaven? If you're peaceful, you've already begun this. If you're joyful, you've already begun this. If you're happy, you've already begun this. In the smallest aspect, what's coming is magnificent. What's coming is no eye has seen, no ear has heard. That's what's coming. The kingdom is coming. Greatness is coming. God is coming. All of them wound the loving soul, and the soul faints with these I love yous, while the divine archer continues with his arrows that now make her die of love. And now he says, give her back new life of love. Abundant life of love. The divine will is love. It's learning how to hear, smell, taste, touch, with your human senses, all the I love yous of God that surround you. That's the rounds. If you're praying the rounds, you've fallen deeper in love with Jesus than ever before. You've fallen deeper in love with the Father more than ever than before. You've fallen deeper in love with the Holy Spirit than ever before. You fall deeper in love with Our Lady than ever before. You fall deeper in love with Louisa than ever before. You fall deeper in love with the Vicar of Christ than ever before. It's a whole new beginning that comes to mankind with this great gift of the divine will. And Jesus is looking at us, and he's saying, are you reading? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Are you reading? Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you putting this into practice? It's all there in the Book of Heaven. It's all there. And every time you read it, there's more there than there was before. He expands our capacity to understand this word that Jesus, the Word of God, speaks to you. It's filled with light and life and love. And he's asking us to enter into it. God loves us very much. And he wants to fill us with new life of love. He wants us to die of love. We see this when we look at the ecstasy, the carving of St. Teresa of Avila, the ecstasy of St. Catherine of Siena. This is a glimpse of what God has given to us. What they have gone through, it's not living in the divine will, but it's the ecstasy of the souls doing the will of God. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, the great mystics of the church. But to die living in the divine will, only Louisa has done that. Only Louisa. Jesus did it because he lived in the divine will. Mary did it because she's the mother of God, Theotokos. She lived in the divine will. The only human born of original sin who lives this life is Louisa. And God is saying to us, I want to give this to you. Do you want this life? Look, just look at the ecstasy. Look at the carving of St. Teresa of Avila, or the painting of St. Catherine of Siena, the ecstasy of love, the sword piercing their hearts, the arrows piercing their hearts, killing them in order to give them new life, new love. This cannot compare to what Jesus has given to Louisa, because the saints only did the will of God. Louisa did the will of God and lived in the will of God, which God is calling us to do. So a peaceful soul is the delight and the amusement of God. The peaceful soul is that little lamb that's next to the shepherd. The delight and the amusement of God. While the turbid souls, if the divine archer darts through them, those darts are wasted by the soul. They don't begin to hear, smell, taste, and touch the I love yous with their senses. They're wasted. See, we have to learn how to live correctly. Doing the will of God and now living in the will of God. This is what Jesus is expecting of us. He's giving us this gift of the divine will so that we can begin to live this abundant life. Jesus says very, very clearly, these souls, these turbid souls, leave God embittered in forming the diabolical amusements and tastes. The devil delights in this. The devil delights in you and I worrying and being fearful and being anxious and being complaining and being negative and doubting and sinning. The devil delights in that. It's got to stop. We've got to turn back to God 100%. We've got to turn back to God like we've never turned back to him before. Like the saints never turned back to him before. They did not have the book of heaven. They did not have little Louisa. We have to be the delight and the amusement of God. We have to want to be darted with these arrows of love. We want to die of love. We want God to give us back new and abundant life, a life of love. These are the virtues that Jesus is trying to make us aware of. This is why he gave us the book of heaven, to begin to focus on this abundant life. No more worry, no fear, no anxiety. Stop feeding the devil. Stop making the devil with his diabolical amusements. We can't be like that anymore. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he freed us from Satan's grasp. And now with this gift of the divine will, he wants us to enter into this abundant life of heaven, where we're in the bosom of God. We're in the embrace of God. We've been freed from the devil. And now Jesus says, now come to me, all ye that are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. This is what God is waiting for. This is why we read. This is why we study. This is why we put this into practice, to enter into this abundant life. How glorious is this? That our God is wounding us with his arrows of love, pleading with us to come to him, asking us, begging us to enter into the kingdom of God now on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.